Hello and welcome. You are listening to the 1% Christian. This is the daily Bible study where we dive into God's Word. We take 1% of our day, we study, we pray, we learn about the attributes of God, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this day and this life that God has given us. I am Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, studying with you through the Gospel of John. We're about 12 days in, so if you've been with us from day one, congratulations. We are building some good habits here. If you're just getting started, listen to this one all the way through. Stay with us, but also you may want to go back and start from the beginning because by the end of this, we are going to have a great understanding of one of the four Gospels of the Bible, and it just keeps getting better from there. So awesome. Let's recap over these last few days. We're at a point in Jesus's ministry. We're going to be in John chapter 5. Before we get started, hold on. I want to invite you to download the Sound of Heaven app. We've got a free digital Bible. It's more than a digital Bible, to be honest. A lot of great resources, articles, sermons, messages. There's an online community. You can chat with us on there. Really cool stuff. But you can get that at soh.church. Or you can go to your Apple or your Google Play Store and just download it there. And if you are listening on anywhere where you can get podcasts, subscribe, set your notifications, like, leave comments, do everything you can to get this out there because we're seeing folks jump on, honestly, from all over the world last couple days. And our Bible study, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, is growing. So thank you in advance for sharing. I believe that what we're doing here is going to bless a lot of folks. Okay. So I know it seemed like I'm moving fast here and it's not just my morning coffee. Okay. We've got a hearty chapter ahead of us and there's a lot going on in Jesus's ministry and we are going to see some shifting around going here and some interesting stuff. We've already started seeing that the Pharisees and all of the religious community is starting to get pretty annoyed with Jesus. Also, we're starting to see that a lot of people are taking note. And even the nobleman is coming and saying, hey, my son is sick. Can you help me? So Jesus's influence is growing. It's making some people very happy, making others not so much. And if you remember from yesterday, what happened was he healed a man on the Sabbath. He told the man, get up, carry your mat. Well, the chief priest didn't like that because you could not be working and carrying a mat was considered working on the Sabbath. And when they found out it was Jesus, they missed the miracle, but they were sure worried about their traditions. And here we are. Jesus gets confronted. Starting with verse 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to prosecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I am working too. So he doesn't try to justify what he did on the Sabbath. He says, listen, my Father's working and I'm working too. We'll get to that, back to that in a second. It says, for this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, not only because he was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Okay, let's deal with the Sabbath here for a second. I already explained everything there. Also understand, in this culture, to invoke somebody to break the Sabbath was almost as bad, if not worse, than you doing it yourself. So we probably understand they didn't like people doing this on the Sabbath. And when we get to John 9, this is going to go to a whole new level, but we'll worry about that when we get there. Here, the big thing that is really getting them upset is that he's calling God Father. And you got to understand, before Jesus, there was a separation between man and God. The old covenant, I told you, had barriers and layers, right? You had a temple. That temple had certain courts that only certain people can get to. By the time you got into the Holy of Holies, the altar in the middle, that room that nobody but the priest could get into, you had to be pretty important. I do air quotes in the temple community. Not everybody could get there. Not the same as right now. You and I have complete access to God because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, dwells inside of us. Why? Because we are born of both water, physically, and born of Spirit. Anyone that has accepted Christ in their life and follows God has that, okay? So Jesus calling God the Father is totally foreign to them, and it is offensive to them. And if you think about it, a father and son are equal in a lot of ways, right? If something were to happen, somebody would come, and I don't want to say it this way, but hurt you or hurt your father, they're going to get the same sense. Why? Because you're both on an equal playing field. Okay. There may be a relational difference, but you see what we're getting here. To say God is my father and I am his son in this culture is blasphemy. And they are not happy about it. Let's move on. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the son cannot do anything by himself. He can only do what he sees the father doing. Because whatever the father does, the son also does. For the father loves the son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these so that you will be amazed, right? Jesus is doing things. He's doing what the father wants him to do, and people are getting drawn to the miracles. And even the Pharisees are requesting miracles, and even though they see them, they are not believing, right? And we talked about that too, right? If you don't want to believe something, God can do a lot of things in front of you and you're going to deny that. But when you want to believe something and when you are pursuing and you've got your eyes and ears open to God, you'll see the things of God in front of you. They were missing the Messiah right in front of them. What I want to point out in this chapter as well is that what we see here are the attributes of a good father. Now, all of us grew up in different types of homes, okay? So sometimes, you know, fatherhood and parenthood altogether, we have a lot of challenges in our world, in our country, because of fathers that are absentee and you know, troubles at home and things like that. So when we hear God as a father, and we probably have for all of us for most of our lives, that can invoke different feelings in us. But I want to bring this up, and I've said it before. Anytime we give an attribute to God, which today's attribute is God is a father, that attribute has to be, because God is perfect, the most perfect, purest form of that thing. So when we say God is a father, he is a perfect father. And some of the attributes of a good father we can find in here. Most of it has to do with the father's influence on his children, right? My father is always at work to this very day. Not talking about an absentee dad, right? Jesus is saying, my father's at work, I'm working too. This is more like bring your son to work day, right? Let's go to another example here. It says, he can only do, so let me go back. The son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the father doing. Really what this is talking about is God is a father that is worth emulating. And don't we all strive for that? I'm not saying just fathers. I'm saying parents in general. Understand what I mean here. As a parent, you want to display what you want your children to emulate, right? The do as I say, not as I do is not really always the best policy, or not a good policy at all as a parent, right? We're tempted to say it, right? Because we're imperfect people and we don't want our kids to do it. So that's our answer. Do as I say, not as I do. That's not God's like next level fatherhood. Parenthood is look at what I do and do what I do, and you'll see amazing things. I'll show you all that I do. And that's what we see here with Jesus. It says, for the Father loves the Son. Out of our love for our children, right? We try to show them the right things. And Jesus says, the Father loves the Son, shows him all he does. So Jesus is showing the real epitome of what it means to be a good father. And this part I love, it says, and he will show him even greater works than these. What? So that you'll be amazed. But I think this reflects really our sentiment toward our children. We want to show them things where they are able to accomplish greater things than even we can, right? Of course, God is God, and we have to look at that in its proper context. But don't you want your children to do greater things than even you did? Amen. So let's move on. It says, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he pleased to give it, which is everyone. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. This is really definitely putting them in a bad mood, okay? What Jesus is positioning here is his authority, and he does this several times, okay? He says, my Father in heaven has authority. He has given me the authority, right? And then if later in the Great Commission, right, Jesus says, Father has given me all authority in heaven, so therefore go. He passes that authority on to us, not to rule and reign and lord over people, but to what? Do what God does. And that's bring heaven to earth, to be his light here on earth. I know I say that over and over again. I'm going to keep saying it. Okay, cool. So let's move on here. Jesus continues. He says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. We can look at this through the context of ourselves, alive here, right? Here, inside, when we're living in our own carnality, we are putting our trust in things that are temporary, right? Our flesh is temporary, but God is eternal. So when we allow God's Spirit to live inside of us, we literally move from death to eternal life. And Jesus continues here, and this is where it may get a little funky for us. It says, verily I tell you, a time is coming when, and has come now, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now we can apply this to those who become awake, become born again, become a new creation. But Jesus is also talking about implications for his audience. Remember, when we read the word, when we study, it is important to know what the audience is receiving. And the audience here is the Pharisees and the chief priests, the very people who claim to be closest to God, who claim to have read the scriptures, yet they're missing the Messiah right in front of them. And he continues, he says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Remember, in him was life, and that life was the light of the world. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Again, the authority of Christ. And he tells them, don't be amazed by this, for a time has come when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. He's talking about all the people here who have died under the law, okay? For you and I in the new covenant, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, okay? I do not believe, and I know there's different beliefs out there. I'll tell you what my perspective is as we close up this 1%. I do not believe that we go into some sort of a sleep scenario like they did in the old covenant. Okay, in the old covenant before Jesus, before the gates of heaven opened, before the resurrection, when people passed away, that's why it's called going to sleep. That's mentioned that in that way all throughout scripture. But that's Jesus is talking to them, saying those in the graves will even hear my voice. And in Thessalonians, this is addressed as well. People are worried about as they closed out the century. This is after Jesus, after the resurrection. It's one of Paul's letters. And they're worried about what happens to the people that die, before the end of the age. And Paul assures them, don't worry. God's got them. God's got them. And we don't have to worry about that. We are absent from the body. We are present with the Lord. But those who would pass away in the old covenant had a little different scenario. Feel free to email me on that if you have any other questions. Maybe be able to hit on that another time. But we are at our 1%. I want to read this last part. Jesus said, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. So Jesus calls himself the judge. Now, the interesting thing is, as we read in John chapter 3, it says that he had not come to condemn the world. So he is not a judge that sits there waiting to condemn. He comes to save. And when you have a judge that is compassionate and a judge that wants to see restoration and a judge that that is just, and what I mean by just, always makes the right decision. When we come across questions that we can't answer about God, we can rest in the fact that we know that he is just. And because he is just, that means he makes the right decision every time, every single time. And his justice is also rooted in love. When we're talking about God, we know we have to put love there because God is love. So if he is just, he's love, he's just in love. If he is jealous, he's jealous in love. That's an attribute we'll get to another day. If he is patient, he's patient to the utmost degree. Thank God for that. And where we see this is in Jesus. I want to hit this home, and I'm going to say this 100,000 times before we're done with this. Jesus is the model of God. He's the perfect model of God. Before Jesus, the world could only see God through a dimly lit lens. That was the old covenant, trying to understand God, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And that's why Jesus came and he corrected a lot of things. And through in Jesus, we could see the perfect reflection of God, perfect reflection of the Father, a loving Father who's always working for us, who's always there for us. And that's what I pray for you today. I want you to feel the security of your life as one who has a Father that is there protecting them, guiding them, and laying the foundations for them to be successful in life. That's what a good father does. And no matter what type of home life you grew up with, no matter what your viewpoint on parenthood and fatherhood is, God is that good father that was going to lay out everything for you in life to be successful if you would just trust him and follow his ways. And he's also a great God that is worth emulating. So let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you that you have brought us together for this study. We thank you that I believe today we have a better understanding of who you are as a Father, Lord God. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus, our Savior. If you're there right now and you just want God as the Father to operate in your life, you say, God, you are my Father, and I am your son or daughter. Say that. You are my Father, I am your son, I am your daughter. Guide me in my steps, Lord God, today. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and my example of who you are, and I will follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio. Thanks for spending a couple extra minutes with me today. Tomorrow, we are going to finish up John chapter 5. Check us out over at soh.church. And again, if you've missed any episodes so far, you can go back and listen. I love you guys, and I look forward to continuing to study with you tomorrow. This is the 1% Christian.